Blog Talk Radio.
They don't really care about us. It's your girl, Leslie Les Live in the building, man. And it is Friday. Some people got their paychecks and some of them didn't. But, you know, have a safe day today. We're going to be talking about MST, which is also known as military sexual trauma. Our special guest today is attorney and veteran Janetta Adams and also veteran Dr. Joanne Fisher live in the building. Both of these ladies have amazing, amazing, organizations that are tackling and battling these issues that female veterans are dealing with, whether it's for claims, MST, or just feeling like they're just alone in their battle of whatever trauma they're dealing with, whether they served or whether they've been separated for years. And some women just feeling that maybe they didn't serve a long enough term to be considered a veteran. So we're going to talk about it tonight. We're going to provide some resources. We're going to talk about why these issues happen. Do they happen on base during peacetime or during times of war? When does this actually happen? How can you report it? Why people don't report it? Some statistics and what solutions and how the VA is revamping what they're doing. And veterans, you can call in at 213-943-3705, and you can tell your story anonymously if you choose so, or if you want to say your name, or if you just want to chime in. So we're live right now. We're going to bring in Janetta Adams and Dr. Joanne Fisher live on the line in a few minutes. So we're going to go to the line right now. Janetta, are you live on the line with us right now? Janetta, are you live on the line with us right now? Dr. Fisher, are you on the line?
Of course I am, Mo. You know I'm there with you.
You already know what it is. I love you so much. Thank you for calling in. We're going to double check and make sure we have Janetta live on the phone with us. So we're going to double check. Hold on 1 second. Let's see if we have Janetta. Janetta, are you live on the phone with us right now? Janetta, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, cool. Yes. Thank you so much, ladies, for calling in. And it's definitely a big issue. It's a big thing that's going on all around. So I want to go ahead and give you a round of applause for coming on the show today with us. We appreciate you. So we have a big issue, ladies. Both of you guys have been in the military. Both have served. Janetta, can you tell us the branch you served in the military?
I served in the Army.
Cool. And Dr. Fisher, which branch did you serve in?
I served in the United States Navy Reserve on active duty from 1976 until 1991. That was my combined time of reserve and active duty.
Okay, nice. Now, both of you ladies, have extensive background. You guys have dealt with your own different trauma, and you guys have learned, and you guys, with that trauma and different things you experienced, you created amazing organizations to combat what is going on with women getting out and women in, feeling like they're detached or have no type of support while they're serving or while they've been separated. The biggest issue that comes to mind at this moment, besides suicide, high suicide rate, and homelessness, is MST. Now, the VA defines, military sexual trauma as both sexual harassment and sexual assault that occurs in a military setting. Both men and women are experiencing military sexual trauma. It can either be on or off post. It's an unwanted action that you are not allowing to happen, but it is either forced on you or you're in fear of being reprimanded or feeling of you losing your career or you just feel stuck. And a lot of women have been dealing with this and men, but we're focusing today on the women. Some of the symptoms a lot of people have faced are disturbing memories or nightmares, difficult feeling safe, feelings of depression or numbness, problems with alcohol or other drugs, feeling isolated from other people, problems with anger or irritability, problems with sleep, physical health problems. Now, ladies, a lot of women are dealing with this, and there's like a high statistic of women, and they're coming forth even more. There was an issue that happened where they had people protesting outside of the Pentagon, and this happened, this is around like January the 8th, earlier this year, and they were actually protesting men and women about sexual assault and harassment and retaliation. And they were saying, okay, so in Hollywood, they're saying Me Too, but what about us as female veterans? We've been dealing with this for years. So I need to hear from you ladies. What is going on with the military system, and why aren't these people putting in reports? Ladies?
I am here.
Netta?
Yep, this is Anetta. So one of the things I have seen in my dealings with the female veteran population, I mean, there's several things. One, as both of you ladies know, the military is a totally separate community. So while you talk about the Me Too movement that's going on right now, and I've heard the Me Too military as well, unfortunately, the Me Too movement is not going to have the same impact on the military as it's going to have on the civilian world because, like I said, as you know, it's a totally separate environment and community. And I think that one of the reasons why women don't report or they're scared of reporting, well, one is because you're serving duty with these people that these men that are harassing you. You eat, sleep, you know, you're in the foxhole. I mean, you're out in the field. So that's one of the issues. I mean, the other thing is that, you know, we're already treated a certain way when we're in the military. I mean, I remember when I was in and someone was telling me I shouldn't be there. I mean, and this is here in 2000, you know, they're saying I wasn't fit to be there. This is a male telling me that. So they already think we're weak. So to go and report something, then in a lot of women's minds, they think that they're going to be perceived as weaker or less than when they report that. So I think that that's part of some of the issues as why you don't see those types of reporting. And I don't know if you guys agree or not, but that's my perception on it.
Definitely. And Dr. Fisher,
I'd like to thank you for inviting me. Everyone, I like a good protest. And I want you to know I was out in the Pentagon on that day for that protest, and it was freezing. But I stood there, and I was there with SWAN. That's the Service Women of America's Network. Outstanding. We're having an event on the Hill on Wednesday, February the 7th, and we're having Lori Manning, their director, to speak. Plus, we're going to have Heath Phillips, one of the males, actually came forth and told about what happened with him. He's coming, and we're also going to have Mercy McKinley, who's coming out to talk about what has happened with them. Now, they talk about in the military, but you got to also remember outside of the military because a lot of these women go through so much they end up being homeless. And we're also having the homeless shelters coming out, which is MGVET and the Calvary Women's Services. So we will have those people coming out for that because I can't give you an explanation as to why things like this happen. The military is not handling it properly, and more has to be done. And it really has to be focused on. And the way that they're handling it is closed, and it's inside the military. It's different from in the civilian world. You can go to the police, and they'll bring the police officers in, and they'll arrest people. It doesn't quite happen like that in the military. And then when you come into the veterans world, into being a veteran, and you file a claim, sometimes your claims aren't taken seriously. Sometimes your claims are put in the back. You don't get any benefits. Why does it take women longer to get their claims satisfied for military sexual trauma than males. So that's what I have to say. I'm passing it back to you, Mo, and thank you.
Thank you. And, you know, just like Zanetta said and Dr. Fisher, a lot of the people that have been victimized, or whether it's sexual harassment, some people leave these traumatized situations dormant in their mind as if it never happened. But sometimes these things come about and they start acting on them without them even knowing that they are. They might be super overprotective of their children, whether they have a daughter. They might be very irritable. Sometimes they don't sleep properly. They have trust issues and things of that nature. Some women have been traumatized. I met a young lady before. She was traumatized. She was brutally raped, and she hasn't, you know, has been intimate with a man in over 20 years. The fact of her even thinking about intimacy makes her want to vomit to the point that she can't be with anybody anymore. So some women's trauma are different. Some women deal with issues where, you know, they're either locked somewhere or they're either, you know, beaten up to the point where they acquire injuries. Or some women are brutally raped to the point they can't reproduce anymore, things of that nature. Sometimes women are afraid, definitely when they're overseas. If this is their commanding officer or NCIC or anybody that's superior than them in military ranking and they're in charge of their well-being, they could be out on the field, and this is somebody that's supposed to have your back, and they're like, dude, if you say anything, I'm going to do something to you. Yeah, you're going to be scared because this person is in charge of, do I come back home to my kids and my husband or my family, or are they going to put in a claim and say that I died because of a situation that they're trying to have as a cover-up? Or am I going to basically get demoted and the retaliation is going to happen, or is everybody going to turn around and look at me because I snitched on somebody or I said that somebody did this to me? So it's just so many different things that could happen. These people are in charge of, you know, basically, am I going to feed my family or not? You know, so, and sometimes even some of your superior officers or your NCIC might say, hey, don't say anything because you might get in trouble. Or, you know, you're trying to get that rank, so, you know, don't say anything. So the other issue is, okay, for those people who came out later, that came out now, in this new age, they've implemented systems for most of the people coming out now, but people that got out in like the 80s, 90s, 70s and things like that, those were the times when, you know, you could slap a female on the butt and everything, and you could slap a female on the butt and it was okay. You know, it was a thing. You know, you can talk about a woman and say different things because at one point they honestly didn't feel that women were equivalent to men when they were serving into the military. Take the VA hospital for a minute, for example. You go to the VA hospital, even though they see you're a woman on there, they'll still call you mister. They're just revamping to realize that these females have a need. And it's sad because you don't ask to be raped. You don't ask to be harassed. The fact that you're there and you're around people that you look as your superiors that are supposed to take care of you and they violate that trust definitely traumatizes somebody. So, yeah, they have trust issues. It leads to obesity. It leads to a lot of women have become obese. A lot of people have issues where they're basically shut themselves off from society. Some women have committed suicide. And also leads to sometimes even homelessness. So, Zanetta, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, and I was going to say, you know, first off, I just got a comment where someone was believing they made a comment about the fact that maybe they don't think that they can receive the assistance because they served in combat or they didn't serve in combat, or the fact that they married a person who raped them, then maybe that's why they can't come forward. Well, you know, I see a lot of different cases, and I just want to back up a little bit just to kind of explain my organization, because I know that that might be a barrier as well. People look at WINC, Women Injured in Combat, as, well, you know what, I wasn't necessarily physically injured, or I definitely was not in combat, and so therefore you know, I don't even want to list. I'm not a part of what you're talking about. WINC, the acronym WINC for All Women Veterans, is for all women veterans. This organization was started because, you know, the idea was that, you know, all of us as women have been injured in some type of physical, mental, or emotional, or even a spiritual way. And so it encompasses all the women of the military. With that said, I think that with the military sexual trauma population, you're right about the things that happened in the 70s. And unfortunately, when people, and it's still happening, but it's not happening as much, when people were raped or sexually assaulted in the military back in the 70s and 80s and 90s and 2000s, when that happened, a lot of times those reports, when they did report it, those things were not getting written down. And so now you have to go through these, you know, enormous steps, I believe, to prove that you suffered a sexual trauma in the military in order to even get compensation and pension benefits. Now, the good thing about it is that, go ahead.
Oh, that was just me. I'm sorry. What I was going to say, something that you haven't talked about, let's go back to the 50s. Let's talk about the children that are produced from rape. That's something that we haven't brought up, the children. They have it now so that parents, so that fathers can actually ask to see these children, and they want the mothers to actually see them after they have raped them and the women have children. Now, this is true. Women in the 50s and earlier times in the military, when they were raped and they had children, they had to get out because you couldn't stay in the military with children, and there was no one for you to tell. So this is something that we aren't talking about, is not only the mental abuse, but the development of having children. And I have actually met women who have had children through this kind of abuse. So this is far-reaching. And then also having the men actually recognize and claim the children and paying child support for them. That might sound far-fetched, but this is what's coming out. And these are things where they're still keeping a foothold on women that's going to be even tighter and harder as we move forward, as the military expands with more women. It's not over, ladies. This is just the beginning because the door is opening. That's why we have to come together to stand up to what is going on now.
Well, and I think you bring up a good point, because when you talk about family, you have dual military relationships as well. And so then you might have a situation where there's an abusive husband who's also raping his wife, who's also in the military. So now you have a military sexual trauma that's happening with your spouse, who also happens to be in the military. And so then it gets a little murky as far as the women wanting to come forward and get the help and the assistance that they need as well, because a lot of times they feel, well, I put myself in this situation. So you have a lot of different things that are going on within this whole dynamic of military sexual trauma and the abuse and things that go on with that.
And the thing about it also.
And bringing up. Bringing up that, what you guys just stated, when you were talking about rape with the spouse, you have incidences where, with the rape, whether it's somebody of a higher rank, they could say, oh, you're the adulterer when you are a victim, and then you could get, you know, reprimanded or get kicked out of the military, you know? So it's a very, very touchy situation, but we want to talk about, you know, what kind of solutions, and you guys both have a lot of resources that we need to get out to these people, and we do have a caller live on the line. So I'm going to go to the two callers real quick, and I want Ms. Dr. Fisher, I want you to finish your statement, and I want to go ahead and bring these callers in real quick.
Okay. My thing is I have been involved with the legislature down in Maryland, where I'm at, down in Annapolis. They have very few bills out for women veterans, very few. They have them out for males mainly, or the general population. Also, they're asking us to support the Deborah Sampson Act, which is the Senate 681 and the House 2451 for passage to increase women veterans' benefits. This is major. We have to become active legislatively. Going up on the Hill don't mean anything if we don't know what to go up there and really put the pressure on them to support, because right now they have very, very little on the floor. All these bills that are submitted, and very few are passed. This is an outrage.
Mm. And being that said, we're going to go ahead and bring, we have two callers live on the line. We have a caller from the 831. You're live on the phone call with Dr. Fisher and Zanetta Adams.
Hi, this is Yolanda Harris. I'm a U.S. Navy veteran. And hi, Dr. Fisher, and hi, Zanetta Adams.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Yolanda.
Hi.
I am so glad that you guys have got the invitation to start this conversation, because this is a conversation that has been long awaiting for much attention from our peer mentors. And I mean, when I say peer, I don't mean that I think that you're above me or anything like that. I'm talking about the ones that have blazed the trail. And you didn't blaze the trail because it was just you wanted to do it. You blazed the trail because somewhere together we realized we were all sisters, and that you want for your sisters what you want for yourself. Because I know the very day, I remember as if it was yesterday when I met Zanetta Adams, and I was sitting with some MST and some trauma that was totally unresolved and everything else, and it was like the VA not helping me, the psychiatrists at this hospital not helping me, these therapists that keep sitting in front of us not helping me. And you know why they're not helping? Because they have not walked the walk of being a veteran woman, and they will never be able to get it. So until we start getting professionals that reach that and get those formal training and has dedicated their time and devotion to do these things, we won't still be seeing a lot of the healing we need. I tried to commit suicide from the day I left the military until not long ago. And if it wasn't for Camp Courage and the efforts of Wink, because I was like, wait a minute, I'm not injured in combat. I didn't do combat. I was just combat support. And it's like, no, your combat, and it has to explain to us that our combat is those invisible combats they had done to us in the military. That military sexual trauma, that harassment, you're on an assembly line for bringing in the ship's goods on the ship, and you're in the line, and you know you got a pair of 44, 46 double Ds, and the men are purposely throwing them into, they call them, your fun bag. So now you done got your breasts being bruised and traumatized. God forbid some of the sisters that had more than a bump in the back in their dungarees, they were harassed, trying to say they shelf booty. So a lot of it, too, even being that, it was sexism and racism along with that. So even though we all stand out with the MST, there's still some cultural differences that haven't been touched on, and that they're like, okay, well, we'll just shove this under Me Too. No, this ain't no Me Too. This ain't no Me Too military too. We were here way before the Me Too, and it's been way here before the military too. Let's just call it what it is. It's military sexual trauma. It's a very bad word to say together, to say military sexual and trauma. But that word is ours now, and they can't have it back. It's our word now. They can't have it back.
Very good, Yolanda. Thank you. Thank you, Yolanda. I liked what you said.
You're welcome.
Yes, now
thank
we have to
so
move
much.
Forward, and we have to come together. We have to find solutions. We have to bring everybody together to sit at the table, whether we want to be or not. We can't. And hello, Miss Adams. I didn't even greet you. I like Wink. I like the way you're talking. We have to be right there, all of us, working to make a change. And we can't have our organization separate over here, over here. We have to come together and force ourselves to work together, because not all organizations or people work together. You know that for a fact. But we can do it now because women are key and important.
Well, partnerships.
Definitely. Zanetta, you want to talk on that too?
Well, yeah, I was just saying partnerships are definitely what. Yeah, I'm here. You can't hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I was saying, do you want to touch on that point too?
Yeah, I was definitely going to say that partnerships are key in not only surviving, but getting that awareness across. Because, you know, one of the things that, you know, Wink has been trying to do to help raise awareness, because when we raise awareness of the amount, the enormous amount of women of the military that are out there, then we raise awareness of the actual issues that we face so that we can get the assistance that we need. And so we do this 2 million strong and rising women Veterans Day of Awareness. And you know, I see it as I'm always looking out for partnerships, because I believe that partnerships not only help us grow stronger, but it also helps the population that we seek to serve, which are our sister veterans, our sisters of the military. And, you know, just on that point, you know, Wink is just recently partnered with Challenge America, which is a huge resource hub of resources for the military, to launch this Military Sisterhood Initiative, which will combine active duty women, active military, with veteran women, so that we can actually collaborate and be our own best resources for each other. And we can help these women through the process of when they're dealing with sexual assault and sexual harassment. We can help these women to, and vice versa. They can tell us some things that may be new that weren't there in the 1970s or 1980s when we were dealing with sexual harassment. Or, you know, and I came out, like I said, I was in the 2000s, but I had to deal with that as well. It was more of a sexual harassment thing, but it's still, I mean, it still bothers them, it still hurts, it's still, you know, there's still issues. So I just believe that, you know, as we keep moving forward, then we need to seek out like SWAN and all those different types of organizations. I did want to mention, though, when you talked about bills, when you talked about the bills on the Hill, you know, one of the things that's been helping women and people in general with military sexual trauma is the Ruth Moore Act, and that was passed a few years back, and that came about because a woman veteran had been, you know, fighting the system for 23 years to get her benefits from the military for military sexual assault after being assaulted twice, and finally was able to bring forth a bill on Congress with the help of someone from one of her legislators from Maine, and that's what passed in order to help women veterans to actually be able to get those services without actually having, you know, the military sexual trauma health services and mental health services without actually being a service-connected veteran. And so, and I actually just want to mention, she just sent me a message, and she's actually on the line. So if you wanted to hear from Dr. Ruth Moore as well, she is a true advocate with her organization, Eternity. And you're talking about partnerships. What we're all talking about here is coming together as women veterans with our organizations to build a united front to take to Washington to say, hey, look, we're done. We're not taking it anymore.
That's it. That's what I want to hear. That's what I want to hear. We're not taking it anymore. Thank you, Ms. Adams. Thank you.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I gotta throw some applause on that one because
Yes, thank you.
Together.
We're coming together.
We are all sisters. We are all sisters. We are all sisters in this fight, and we got a lot of callers actually on the line. So we're going to try to bring some more callers on the line. We got a caller from the 330 live in the building. You're live on Lush Radio Online with your girl Lush and Dr. Fisher and Zanetta Adams. How may I help you? 330. Okay, 330, you can stay on the line. We're going to go to the next caller. We got a caller from 937. Tell us your name and where you're calling from.
If it's me, 937, I'm calling from Dayton, Ohio.
Okay. Okay. Talk to us.
I don't know if any of you are aware what's going on in Dayton, Ohio at the VA there. The Dayton VA is the first VA. Okay, back after the Civil War, all veterans had to come to Dayton to get their benefits, and it was a mess. So it's a historical landmark here, and they like to invest a lot of money in groundskeeping and restoring buildings and making it look real pretty, but they don't like to hire any doctors or anything. And I don't know how many of you on this line, because I'm finding out that I am seriously not alone, were in Intel in the 80s, but I went into cryptography in 1983, actually 1982, DEP, and I had very high hopes and very lofty ideals about what I was going to do with my life. And my life more or less ended.
Wow.
Kelly, you are everywhere. Wow. Kelly, you are everywhere. This is Kelly, isn't it?
Yes.
Hi, you are everywhere. You should be here in D.C. with me. This is Dr. Fisher.
I know.
What am I going to do with you? You're everywhere.
What they've done is I can't hardly walk now because of the denial of benefits. I pay for my VA care because I inherited some money from my grandmother. And I'm glad to pay my copay. But they did not allow me to opt for the ACA here. And they forced me into what I was told by two different visions the worst VA in the system for women and minorities. And that was very true in the 70s because I have a step aunt that started her career as a psychiatric nurse at the Dayton VA. Now, we won't get into that. That's another story. But, and I don't want to offend anyone here, okay? The Christian Reich has taken over this VA because of John Kasich, the governor, the AG, Mike DeWine, Rob Portman,
okay.
Mike Turner, and I'm a strong person. We all are, fuck it. You know, we all are, because I have seen some shit. And women surviving shit that they, these fucking, oh, I'm sorry, these damn doctors, these student doctors. How many of you are in a VA right now that's a student doctor training facility for some rinky-dink college?
Well, that it's definitely something that's been going on all over the states where you're dealing with a student doctor instead of an actual person that's supposed to actually be taking care of you. And it's true, and I feel your frustration. And I feel it too. You know, I was just at the VA today, and I was frustrated, and I had to calm down. And they're still not understanding our needs in the VA system because it's been long, long years where they've been catering more to men. And because of the lack of training and because of the lack of empathy, they do not know how to properly deal with us right now. I went to CBT because to deal with trauma, and it's like they force you to do CBT class instead of just letting you have a one-on-one if you requested one. Like, we know what we want. We know what we need. But it seems like they want to try to force and tell us what we need or what we don't need, which that is the issue, and it's still a fight, and we're fighting this good fight.
Right. And I've got 30 years of federal medical records to back up everything I'm saying. Because not only was I in the Navy, I married the Navy for 18 years. So their little CBT, and let's see how many PowerPoint presentations we can fit into our weekly meeting, and then we've taken care of our sexual harassment. It's not just they're not treating me. I'm being sexually abused by clergy. I've been called at home for dates. There's
wow.
no HIPAA protection here. None. I mean,
well, something else too. I want to know that you're on the line with us, and all of them want to reach out to you. And the young lady coming from mental sexual trauma out of Philadelphia wanted you to call her office. And so I have your number, and I have her number, and I can send it to you so you can talk to her, because the VA is under investigation in 11 states. Now, that's going on now, so your state may be one of those states. So you can fly off plane because something has to be done. But right now, we have a lot of other people to talk to, but I got your number so we can talk some more. So at this point, do we have any other callers on? Because I have contacted her, and I have information for her.
Okay,
thank you, Kelly.
Zanetta?
Can I say something? You know, as an attorney, I do claims. I do a lot of what we call Q claims, going all the way back to when you first filed for your benefit. And I just have to say, you know, I have been blessed and fortunate that I have not lost the case yet. And one of the other things is I work with that organization, Eternity, who actually helps with those claims to go back 20, 30, however many years that you need to go back. So if you want those resources and you want that contact, you can definitely check out Lushy's radio page, and then she can post that information so that you can get that information. And no matter where you are, I'm in Michigan, but I practice federal law. So if you want that assistance, I can help you with that. Or Eternity, which she is great. Like I said, she's the one who founded the Ruth Moore Act, and her organization does a lot of those claims. Then and she has direct connections to the VA, so that might be an avenue as well.
Well, and something else, Ms. Adams, Ms. Kelly does need assistance, but I really think she needs someone to really work with her one-on-one to help her. My oldest daughter was like that. And finally, my youngest daughter, who had also served, went out to see her because no one could work with her because of the way that she was, her anger. And so my youngest daughter finally was able to get through, and she was able to get benefits. And Ms. Kelly does need that kind of assistance, not giving her information, someone to help her work through it, because she's going through a very difficult time with a lot of things happening. But thank you.
Definitely.
And you. Thank you.
After fighting 30 years, I just recently helped a female veteran who was fighting for 30 years. And
yes,
she didn't believe
yes.
she had been the VSOs, and she had been all these
yes,
people.
Yes,
I mean,
yes,
just
yes.
all
it's
just
real.
This hard life because of that. And when she
yes.
came to me, she had no faith or belief that I would do anything for her because she had
that's,
been
that's
down
it.
This road
that's
how
it.
Many times?
That's what's
and
happening.
Guess
that's...
what? I said, leave it in my hands. I will do what I need to do. Like I said, I worked with Eternity, and we got her back paid for 30 years. So
I'm just
telling you that you know, when you partner, this is what we're talking about partnerships, you know, partnering with Eternity and working with organizations who are doing this type of thing and getting all the resources you can to fight these things, even though the word rape is not in your file, it can be done. It's just a long road. And I just actually found
exactly.
out today there was a man been fighting for almost 15 years for his MST and kept getting denied, and we just found out today he just was approved, and he's in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you that I understand it. When you get to this point, it's a difficult time because you don't
yes.
trust anything.
Yes.
So
yes.
we'll put the information. You guys are more than free to use it and reach out, and if we can help you, great. If we can't,
but we'll definitely find a solution, and we will be posting all the resources that we have, and we still got some more callers on. Thank you for being patient, everyone that's on the line. You're live right now on www.lessradioonline.net. You can call in at 313-943-3705. Call in. You can call anonymous, tell your story, or you want to chime in. We do have Dr. Ruth on the line that actually advocated with the Ruth Act. And she might want to chime in. We also have 937 and 817. We'll bring you two on, but I'm going to go ahead and bring in Dr. Ruth. Dr. Ruth?
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
Hi, Dr. Ruth.
Hey. So I was listening to this conversation. I got in kind of late, and I think you are all going in the right direction. It's just wonderful to hear that, you know, the partnerships are coming together, the people are there. Yes, we have had wonderful experience working with Zanetta and with Wink and helping with veterans. And Zanetta and I are just, you know, congratulating back and forth because the Hawaii veteran, we've been working on that for quite a while, and I passed him to Zanetta, and I'm glad it worked out. I'm just like, yes, finally. So, you know, Zanetta was right when she said that when you're looking at claims, sometimes what's not in the claim is what will help you win the claim. So a lot of times MST survivors, their records are tampered with or things are inadvertently, quote-unquote, lost. And so when we look at a veteran's case, we look at not just the letters of denial. We look at the development of the case, and we look at who helped on the case or who put the case in. Because a lot of times there have been subtle errors which add up, and each error creates a new error, which makes it so our veterans don't get the benefits they're entitled to. So it's a process. It's called a queue, and Zanetta works really well with that. Eternity works with it, and from time to time we partner on it because sometimes I need her strengths and sometimes she needs our strengths. But it's a beautiful dynamic. We are so strong to see, or so happy to see the sisterhood come together and the strength that each of us brings to this team. It's dynamic. My fight, like I said, like Zanetta said, was 23 years. It was frustrating. There were many times I wanted to give up. And finally, I found my voice in D.C. when I went and testified, and then I realized I got a big mouth and a big backside, and boy, D.C. is never going to forget me. And they haven't.
I love it. I love it. Can we get some hand claps? I love it.
We got to get some hand claps for that. That was definitely amazing right there. So we're going to go ahead and give her some claps for that, Dr. Ruth.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Yes, yes, yes.
Definitely. So, and I'm going to, because I want to be fair to my other callers, I'm going to go here so they can chime in real quick. I want you to stay on too, Dr. Ruth, because when we, the next segment we're going to go into, I'm going to play a song after I get the last two callers. We're going to play a Demi Lovato song, and this, I actually heard this song with Zanetta, and I think this kind of touched bases on most of the women and how they're feeling through this song, and you can relate to it. And we're going to come back, and now we're going to talk about, like, what are the solutions? What are the new resources? What is the VA developing right now? What is Congress talking about? But we're going to go ahead and go to the phone line and bring these other callers in. We got a caller from the 937. You're live on the line with Dr. Ruth, Zanetta Adams, and Dr. Fisher. Say your name and where you're calling from. 937? Okay, stay on the line. Oh, did you come back on? 937? 937, you there?
I'm a 937, but I don't think you guys want me again. This is Kelly. I don't think you guys want me again.
Okay. Hold on 1 second, Kelly. Okay, all right, cool. 817?
Hey, hi, guys. I'm here.
Hi.
So
how are you doing?
Actually, my name's Raquel. I'm actually calling from Sacramento, California. It's so absolutely wonderful to have this conversation, to listen to everyone. I want to touch on a couple of things. I so agree that we need to come together and we need to help each other get through this because, you know, when we were in the service, we had our squad, we had our group of people that we knew we could depend on. But once you leave the service, you don't have that connection. So I think that by us telling our stories and getting our stories out there, raising awareness will help so many women heal along their journey. Some of these veteran service organizations are trying to be more inclusive towards women, but I feel that they are still not quite getting it right. And I've taken upon myself to work with some of these organizations to raise awareness about what are the needs of women veterans, what do we need, what can they do to support us. So I think it's imperative as part of the dialogue for us to get involved. It might be uncomfortable at first. I tell you, the first time I walked into a VFW post was not the most welcoming, but I kept going back, and now they're like family to me. They actually stick up for me because we'll be at events, and people will shake the male's hands, oh, thank you for your service, and then they'll give them a look like, wait a minute, she's a veteran also. She served. And
exactly.
It's created a camaraderie between us now that, you know, I've been around. They've gotten to know me. They've gotten to know several other women that we've created that camaraderie, and we're fostering that mutual respect for each other's service. And I think that this is an absolute great forum. I'm so glad you guys are doing this. We do need to get our stories out there and let people know that, hey, this is real. This is what happened. This is what happened to me. This is what happened after I left. And I want to be able to help other women along their journey of healing.
I would like to say something, if I could, with regards to what you're saying. Thank you for what you're saying. With regards to the veteran service organizations, we need to get more women in key leadership positions in financial.
I agree.
On the chair as the financial committees and things like that, in key leadership positions. Also, I'm the chair of one of the groups that has six in my state, and they have the six commanders in the state who are involved with this, and I work with them. They still don't get it about women. They can't even find enough women to come together to do things because they really don't know how. And even though they're recognizing you,
doing things to encourage women to join. Women have to be mentored, developed, encouraged, supported, put into positions, guided, led. And also they also need a man to go ahead to sometimes clear the way so that other men who may want to attack them or tear them down will stop. But women need there won't be a change until we have more women in key leadership positions, and I mean financial positions. I mean leadership positions where they make decisions, key decisions, not just something as a secretary of some organization, but in a key leadership position with other women coming behind them.
Oh, I agree. I mean, especially in this day and age where there are so many more women in the military, the number of women in the military now compared to even 10, 15 years ago, the numbers are steadily increasing, and we have to get into those positions. We have to make it a point to show up, get counted, get them used to your face, so when they see you, they're like, oh, shit, here she comes. They know that they're not going to be able to dismiss you to, oh, well, it's just, yeah, the ladies are over there. No, I'm right where I'm supposed to be. I earned the right to be here.
But we also have
to
come up with programs. We have to work together to develop programs within these organizations for women, because other than that, they'll have male-centered programs. We did bra and panty drive. The men put up the money. I want to thank them for that. I have nothing bad to say about that. They supported it. They made sure it happened, but it was the men who actually backed me by it. They behind it. They thought it was funny. They tickled them to death. But when the women got the bra and panties, they were flawed as to the quality, and they had the kind that younger women like. So the men didn't know how to take that. That was surprising that something as major as bra and panties was of interest to women veterans.
And we got one more caller. I'm going to bring them in, and then we're going to go to a quick song, and we're going to come back to this, because now when I come back, we need to get some resources out there to the ladies. We got a caller from the 269. You're live on the line with fellow callers, attorney Zanetta Adams. We have Dr. Fisher, and we have Dr. Ruth live on the line, and you're with Lushy Lush. Tell us your name and your branch, or where are you calling from?
Barb Turway, U.S. Army, back in, started 79, 73, 74, 86 to 92. Are you there?
Yep.
Hello? And yep, I just want to say, I'm just coming into the community of Michigan from the state of Minnesota, where I, as a veteran, came back talking about filing for claims, had no clue that I could even file a claim, and it was some kind gentleman and within the VA of Minneapolis that said, you have no idea what you're dealing with, and I'm going to submit this for you. In those years of dealing within the VA and still dealing with the VA today in many areas of care and getting care and needing care, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual, there is no support system. It doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. And we have to come together as women, veterans, and gently nudge each other through the process, bringing it to the core, which is the pain that still exists within this VA system. It's not a helpful mm-hmm. system at this point in time. What I suggest as a recommendation, and I'm working with Senator Stauenbaugh's office to do, is look at the funding that's available and not available to us. Looking at the management mm-hmm. positions that are holding these courts for our care and fighting diligently to say, how come? Why? What do we need to do? Who's got the answers? I want to know. I need to share it. They're scared to death right now. They don't know what to do with us because we have a voice, and they haven't heard it before. But it's here, and it's present, and it's in the numbers. We are going to survive mm-hmm. another round of pain and endure in a second PTSD that is continually present when we walk in those systems. At this point mm-hmm. in time, it's a solution. What I'm recommending is they look at the non-VA care funding since the Veterans' Choice is ending, so they say. The only way I survived during that turmoil and found those records is because I went AWOL for 2 weeks. I went back and said, I'll come back when I'm ready. I won't come back at all. And I went back, and I thrived. And to this day, I'm still going to help a veteran that needs to come forward, painful as it might be for myself.
Mm-hmm.
We got to look at getting out of the system, out of the system at this point in time. What they can do to help us is to allow us to go through a person that understands, a facility that understands, that supports the healing process instead of the debilitating positions we're still put in daily, showing up in the doors. I'm going to ask for that to take place, whether it's with my physical care, my mental care, my spiritual well-being, and meeting other women and saying, this is what we got to do. We got to tell them what we need because they don't know what we need.
Definitely.
We need to get out of there. We need to go to a place that's safe and talk about it and do change the legislation that allows us the support that we need to heal from the abuse that we endured and still do. And until those words are heard, we're going to keep fighting and fighting and fighting together.
Definitely. And I'm going to go ahead and let Zanetta, that was definitely some amazing words. I want you to stay on the line with us because we're going to come back again. Zanetta, you want to say a couple of words before I go to some music?
No, I mean, I want to say that I agree that a collective voice of female veterans is what it's going to take, and not just five veterans, but all of us coming together in one united front is what it's going to take to really make a difference and an impact.
Definitely. And with those words, you're listening to Lush Radio Online, and we're going to go to Warrior by Demi Lovato. This is actually was suggested by my girl, Zanetta. And I listened to this song, and I dealt with my own trauma, and I feel like this song speaks to a lot of women that have gone through their own trauma, whether it be in the military or outside of the military. And a lot of you guys can definitely relate to the song Warrior by Demi Lovato. And we'll be back on Lush Radio Online. Talk to you guys and let you know that Dr. Fisher actually has an event going on Capitol Hill at the Rayburn Building. I'm going to be posting that information out so you guys can definitely join in on that event. They're definitely going to be doing a lot of activism and trying to have different speakers and resources out there for female veterans. So Dr. Fisher is doing some amazing things in the D.C. area with legislation. And then definitely, you know, we also have an event coming up with WINC, an award show, and women are going to be getting awarded. And we're looking for nominations for women who are impacting the military community in their own way. And you can log into WINC, F-O-R, WINC is W-I-N-C, for F-O-R, for all.com. And you can do your nominees, or you can nominate somebody, and you can also get your ticket. It's going to be in Michigan. And, you know, definitely, this was definitely a great call. We still got some more callers in. Now we need to bring some resources to the table for the ladies out there, whether it's homelessness, MST, and some tips, ladies, on how these women can, you know, go about filing their claim, you know. So we know that the system is broken. We know we need change. So it's up to you, ladies, to definitely, you know, we need to come together. Like, there's so many VSOs. I think it's over, like, 5,000 or more VSOs. Why can't we all work together to make an impact and change? These women need our help, so let's work together. Zanetta and Ruth, we still have two other callers. I think I just got a new caller. 440, you're live on Lush Radio Online with Zanetta Adams and Dr. Ruth. Dr. Fisher had to step aside. So 440, tell us your name and where you're calling from. 440, okay. So, Zanetta, some resources, and how can we go about, you know, I guess if we're going to, like, try to do a claim, like, and Dr. Ruth, what are the different tips and steps, you know, for the ladies out there to help them?
Well, I think one of the resources I already mentioned was Internity. If you're having an issue dealing with a military sexual trauma, they don't just help with the claims, but they help with some of the healing as well and providing the resources for that. And so they are all about the military sexual trauma community and the survivor community. And so I think that that's one, and it's Internity, I-N-T-E-R-N-I-T-Y. So that's one good resource. Another good resource would be, you know, if you're looking for others like you, if you're looking for ways to connect with other female veterans, I think, for one, check out WINC, because that's what we do. We don't look at whatever your disability or whatever you're dealing with. We look at you as a whole, as a person, and so you can share and become a resource for someone else and vice versa. And so we have these meetups, we have these retreats, we have a lot of activities that help with the social aspect of recognizing your other sister veterans in your community. And I think with the Military Sisterhood Initiative that's going to be launching late spring, I think that that will also help to bring people together. I mean, and when you look at the VA, that is a resource as well. I know that they're not doing the best, but they are doing better than they used to do. So that's a step in the right direction. We have to give them that type of credit. But if you are suffering with a military sexual, you suffer from the military sexual trauma, that's a wrong word, suffered. If you are a survivor of military sexual trauma, then you can reach out to the VA. And whether you're service connected or not, you can still get those resources. You can still, you know, get the mental health connections and, you know, talk to a counselor about those things, because that is what was set up by the Ruth Moore Act. So that's one of the other major resources. And pretty much most people have a VA somewhere in their vicinity.
And
Ruth?
I think what I want to tag in is that the Ruth Moore Act definitely made access for our veterans to get mental health care if they have endured an MST. And I want to just touch a little bit about, you know, how women are, when they go in for help, they're pushed into group sessions when a lot of them aren't ready. So, you know, Mo, if you could keep that as a little sidebar, I'd like to maybe address that later. But I'd like to go back to the MST piece in that in Trinity, we wrote a landmark white paper in 2016, and we delivered it to Secretary McDonald before he got out. And this paper was a way to tie physical injuries, even 20 years old, to service connection for MST. And so we researched this white paper, and for survivors who claim that they have cervical injuries or headaches or jaw injuries or anything along that line from the shoulders up, this landmark white paper has pretty much started making change across the country so veterans can now have service connection and get access for medical care. So it's not well known. It kind of got lost in the transition. But Zanetta and I were actually talking about, you know, getting together and possibly taking a trip to D.C. And, you know, now that I'm doing a little bit more research academically and I'm getting ready to write some major papers through Saybrook University, I think the time might be right for us to make an appointment and to go into D.C. and start presenting the clinical findings as well to Dr. Shulkin and start making national reform that way for our survivors. Going back to claims, there are many, many, many resources that people don't know exist out there. So part of the claims process is the disempowerment, which Internity deals with. But a lot of times our veterans also endure financial hardships. And some of our veterans become homeless. Some of our veterans need a lot of help. And so Internity has a direct line with the VA. So we can coordinate if a veteran tells us where they live and where their closest VA is, we can immediately get them a contact with an MST coordinator or a supervisor at their local VA. Sometimes the VA is not a good fit for some of our survivors. Maybe there's something going on in the VA. Maybe there's a little bit of room for improvement in their programming. So we also recommend the vet centers. And most of the vet centers, if not all of them, have specially trained therapists for MST. And that is free of charge to survivors of PTSD or MST. And the nice thing about the vet centers are they also have a mandate to treat the veteran's families. So if the veteran needs counseling for MST, a lot of times their families are eligible for that counseling as well, and it is free. So that's a really big plus that not many people knew about. There are also many, many, many civic groups in the communities that are available to help veterans. Not a lot of big help financially, but a lot of times they have special initiatives, and one of those is the Benevolent Protective Order of the Elks, or the Elks Lodges across the country. Their mission is to work with veterans and children. So there are thousands of Elks Lodges across the country, and all the veteran needs to do is call them and ask for their veterans coordinator, explain what's going on, and sometimes they can help by putting on public dinners, or they can help with special funds. I know for homeless veterans, they have a reimbursement of up to $300 for incidentals for a veteran to get into a house or an apartment. And coordinate that with the VA and other homeless resources, most times a veteran can be set up very quickly. So these are only a few. Internity maintains a national database of all of these resources, and we are so, so, so excited to partner with WINC and with other organizations to start meeting the needs of our sisters. It's just phenomenal. Definitely. To see the buy-in and the tie-in that we all have once we put our minds to it.
So Dr. Ruth and Zanetta, could you please put your information out, the links for women that are looking for resources at this moment or want to touch base to ask for some type of advice or guidance? Could you put that information out there for the ladies?
Yep. I can say that the easiest way to reach us would be to call our office, and that number is 207-619-1413. We have an online, we have a Facebook page. We also have a web page, but trying to spell it over the air, sometimes not everybody gets the right reception. So, again, our phone number is 207-619-1413.
Shanetta?
So mine is if you go to www.winkforall, that's WINCFORALL.com, and you can find out more information about events in your area, and there'll be more events posted. There's different events posted every month in different areas, and I know that we'll be coming to the Maryland, D.C. area soon to do some meetups out there as well. So, yeah, you can check that out. And then if you need to contact me or you're interested in getting even some just some legal expertise as far as that goes, then you're certainly welcome to send an email through Wink for All, and we'll be in touch about that. Because I do help not just with military sexual trauma claims, but I do help with all VA, pretty much all VA compensation claims. So if you just need maybe to be put on the right direction or the right path, please feel free to just give us a shout out and send us an email.
Definitely. And I got a couple of links, guys. This was actually through Dr. Fisher. www.ementorprogram.com. You can find a mentor in your community in the military arena, whether it's would help with anything that's going on with your life or just in general, whether it's school. So it's eMentor, www.ementorprogram.org. Another link is www.va.gov/womenvet/. And it's the Center for Women Veterans, and you can get some information there. Also, www.mentalhealth.va.gov/msthome.asap. And you can definitely get some information, you know, and you can definitely get some more information. And also, www.va.gov Center for Minority Veterans also has some information. And if you're suffering from homelessness in your area or you know a veteran, you can also call the National Homeless Veteran Hotline at 1-877-424-3838. And remember, you already know that this is not just for us, it's for everyone. We're all sisters, we're all family here, and we all need to support and work together so we can combat this issue that's going on nationally. It's not just happening in your state. It's happening in every state. And our voices are going to be heard. And united, we are stronger. So make sure that you definitely stay tuned to Lush Radio Online. Don't forget, on Mondays, we have Motivational Mondays with our girl Emma E2K from 9 to 10 a.m. in the morning. And definitely check out Wink for All. And also, the event that's coming up in Capitol Hill is the fourth annual WVUC Women's Veteran on the Hill on Wednesday, February 7th, 2018, from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. at the Rayborn Building at 2168, located on 45 Independence Avenue, Southwest Washington, D.C. The theme is about serving women veterans. The keynote speaker is going to be Verna Jones, Executive Director of the National American Legion of Washington, D.C., also Michelle Jones, the first female command sergeant major in the United States Army Reserves, Captain Lori Manning, director of the Government Operations Service Women's Action Network, SWAN, Women's Veterans, Military, Active Duty, and Reserve National Guard are all invited, and this is released by Dr. Joanne Fisher of the Women's Veterans United Committee, INC. So, and if you want to get more information from Dr. Fisher, her website is www.wvucinc.org or 240-305-5516. And she's still looking for sponsors for the event, and it'll be next week on the 7th. So definitely we're calling for your support. And we also have the HER2 Wink Award Ceremony that's going to be going down in April. You can get more information about that for Wink for All on the website, and you can go to the Facebook page. So much love. It's your girl, Leshy Lush, live in the building. I'm going to go ahead and play the rest of this song by Demi Lovato for those that didn't hear the whole song, Warrior, because all of you ladies are warriors. You all serve. You put on that uniform, and I love you and respect you. And this is Leshy Lush. I don't do it for me. I do it for the people. I'm the people's voice. Leshy Lush, Lush Radio Online. Don't forget to follow us at Lush Radio Online. www.lushradioonline.net. You can catch the show later if you didn't catch it live. All right? It's your girl, Leshy Lush, Demi Lovato, a warrior.
I gotta get this off my chest to let it go. I need to take back the light inside you stole. You're a criminal, and you feel like you're a pro. All the pain and the truth I wear like a battle wound. So ashamed, so confused, I was broken and bruised. Now I'm a warrior. Now I've got thicker skin. I'm a warrior. I'm stronger than I've ever been. And my armor is made of steel. You can't get in. I'm a warrior. And you can never hurt me again. Out of the ashes, I'm burning like a fire. You can save your apologies. You're nothing but a liar. I've got shame, I've got scars that I will never show. I'm a survivor in more ways than you know. 'Cause all the pain and the truth I wear like a battle wound. So ashamed, so confused, I'm not broken or bruised. 'Cause now I'm a warrior. Now I got thicker skin. I'm a warrior. I'm stronger than I've ever been. And my armor is made of steel. You can't get in.
You can never hurt me again.